My topic today is about the deaths of the apostles. My text will be from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 through 38. The scripture says, "And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, of Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight, women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains, in dens and in caves of the earth." Please keep that passage in mind as we follow through in the discussion. Lately, I have been reading a book about the Shroud of Turin, the supposed burial cloth of Jesus Christ. The book is an interesting read. It's spectacular in the sense that it draws off of a subject that's been in the news and at times been in our minds, the mystery of the shroud. And is it the burial cloth of Jesus Christ, or is it some forgery? That's an interesting part of the story of the shroud. But really, the case of the shroud, the study of the shroud, the mention of the shroud is important in our thinking and our theology. And I'm not trying to draw us into a sense of idolatry around the shroud. Is it the real cloth or not? That's not at all where I'm going with this. Let me explain. The author of the book does not claim to be a Christian. He does not claim to believe in the resurrection of Jesus. He does, however, recognize the historical importance of the resurrection and of the shroud. Now, whether you believe in God or not, you cannot get away from the fact that something somewhere happened somehow, and that it did indeed change the course of history. That is the position the author of this book takes, is that there is something here that altered the course of history. He does not claim to be a believer. He considers the development of the Christian faith and the development, the start of the church and the growth of the church as one of the supreme mysteries of human history. And it must be a mystery to him if he does not believe in Jesus as the Christ and does not believe that the resurrection is a fact. It must be a mystery. It will be a mystery to him. The second thing that he sees as a mystery, and it follows fast on the heels of the first mystery, and that is, what motivated the apostles? If the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not a fact, what in the world motivated these men to go forth as they did? This is a mystery. to this man who wrote the book, and a mystery to those who believe as he believes. Those who do not believe that Jesus is indeed the Christ, and that Jesus was killed, buried, and raised from the dead. Apart from the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, none of this Christianity makes any sense. And the lives of the apostles make no sense either. The apostles gained no social position by preaching the gospel. In fact, they were shunned by the society that they lived in. They made no financial gains. They died in poverty. And let's talk about how they died. These men, with the exception of John, died horrible and violent deaths. To those who are not of the household of faith, this is a mystery. Why did these men do what they did if there was nothing in the world to be gained by it? As I said, apart from faith in God, the belief in Jesus Christ crucified and resurrected, there is none of this that makes any sense. And this week, as I read through the book, I found it interesting, but it drew me in to the apostles. What do I know about them? What about their lives and their deaths? We know who they are, who they were. It's told to us in Scripture. I thought much about the apostles. And today, what I would like to do is look at the apostles and consider how they died. These were men that were driven by their faith. Paul says that the grace of God compelled him. It made him do what he did. These men were so captured by Christ that they faced everything ugly the world had to offer them, and they ran at it with a vigor, preaching Christ even to their deaths. Now, most of what we know about the apostles' lives comes from extra-biblical sources, and I hope you'll forgive me for resting today a lot on those sources and using the Scripture only as a base to bring us into this. But I think as we all hold to a Christian perspective, we can see the value even in extra-biblical sources for our information. And let us understand always that we as believers know that God is behind all things, in all places, at all times. So I feel confident in looking at history with the understanding that God was present with the apostles, and none of this was apart from God. What's given to us in history comes from a few writers in the first and the second and third century in the early church. Some are apt to discount these sources because they say, well, this is written by a closed community with an agenda. They were trying to prop up their own faith with these stories. Well, the truth is that all history has been recorded by small communities in distant places. It is only lately that human events can be known worldwide. So everything prior to maybe the age of exploration in the 1400s and 1500s, when men finally started going around the world, everything before that was recorded in small communities, oral tradition. What we know of history comes to us that way. So we can't just throw Christian history out because it was written by a handful of believers. We can place value in these stories. And I do. And I do. We'll talk about the deaths of the apostles, and I hope we find that not to be a morbid subject. Because the stories of the deaths of the apostles is the story of the life of the church. Christ gave His life, and from His death and resurrection came the church. And from the deaths of the apostles sprang forth more life in the church. As they preached Christ, as they suffered, as they died for Christ, more life was given to the church. The order of the apostles that I will follow as we look briefly at their deaths is that order of the apostles, disciples listed in Matthew chapter 10 verses 1 through 4. And there we have a list by name of the apostles. This is the occasion when Jesus has selected the 12 to send them out to preach the gospel. As a note, let me lay a small historical context, and that is that the church from day one was persecuted. Christ said, "The world hates me, it will hate you." Certainly that has been true from the day that the church began. The first persecutions of the church from 33 AD, the death, resurrection of Christ, until about 60 AD, were done by the Jews. Christianity was viewed as a heretical sect within their religion, and the persecutions that the early church suffered in those days was at the hands of the Jews. Now, beginning with the reign of Nero in Rome, the Christians became a scapegoat and were reckoned to be the cause of all the evils that were befalling a decadent Rome. And from 60 AD on, the primary persecution of the church then was from the Empire of Rome. Keep that in mind. What set the Christians apart from everybody else in the empire was that Rome demanded that you worship the present emperor as God on earth. Christians, of course, could not and would not do that. And at that point, not only were they heretics, they were enemies of the state. And they were hunted up and killed. And is using that as a backdrop, let us understand that the apostles functioned in this world. This world of persecution. It was very real in their day and age. Let's begin with Simon Peter, first on the list. Simon Peter was the apostle to the Jews. The history we know that is handed down to us is that he preached in Jerusalem. He then moved to the area around Antioch and then eastward into Babylon. Here is where a controversy begins in the life of Simon Peter. The Roman Catholic Church maintains that Peter made his way to Rome, and it was there in Rome that he died. But there is counter church history that says he didn't go to Rome. Those who hold to the Roman era in Peter's life center it around the fact that history records he went to Babylon. There's writing in the early church that said he went to Babylon. Now, we can place Babylon on the ground. That is the area we now know as Iraq and Iran. Early church writings say that he went to Babylon. But some early church writings and some hold that Babylon was a code name for Rome. Some interpret that as a code name for Rome. So they say, Peter went to Babylon, Rome. There's a division there in the history. We can't be sure at this point. We've got accounts both ways, but nobody can clear that up for us. What we do know is that in Babylon, Peter was crucified. He was persecuted, he was hunted down, and he was crucified. Peter would not hear of being crucified in the same way that his Lord was, and history records he was crucified upside down. I will say this, he was killed at the hands of the Romans, because crucifixion was the mode of death that the Romans used for insurrectionists, enemies of the state who were not Roman citizens. Peter met a violent death, crucified. We look to Andrew, next in the list, who is the brother of Peter. Andrew preached his way across what we call the Middle East into the area called Scythia. Scythia was the region north of the Black Sea in an area we would now identify as Ukraine. South of Russia, north of the Black Sea, the area we now call Ukraine. There, he was stoned to death. He took the gospel far away and met a violent death preaching Christ in Scythia. James, the son of Zebedee, preached the gospel in the area around Jerusalem and was persecuted, hunted up, and killed by the order of King Herod Agrippa. Of all of the apostles, this is the only apostle we know from Scripture how he died. It's recorded in Acts chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. There is the account of the persecution ordered by King Herod that killed James. This, you can recognize by the name Herod Agrippa, was a persecution by the Jews, not by the Romans. Next in the list, we go to John, son of Zebedee, the brother of James. John preached around Jerusalem, then preached his way through what we call the Middle East into Ephesus. And there he settled in the church at Ephesus. Persecutions began. John was rounded up by the Romans and boiled in oil. That's gruesome. John lived. Can you imagine? Boiled in oil, and the man lived. God had greater purpose for the Apostle John. John lived through this horrible, horrible, horrible death sentence. He lived. Still the enemy of the state of Rome, John was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. And there, of course, we know that John was given the revelation of Jesus Christ. We recognize that as the last book in our Bible. John served his time. He was an old man. The Romans let him go. John returned to Ephesus, and there he died. Sainted member in the church at Ephesus. John is the only one of the apostles who died of natural causes. A very unnatural life, but a death in natural causes. Philip. Philip preached his way through the Middle East into the region called Phrygia, which is what we would now know as central Turkey. And there, in the city of Hierapolis, He was crucified. Again, read into that, enemy of the state of Rome. He would not worship the emperor. He would not proclaim the emperor to be God. Crucified in Hierapolis. Bartholomew traveled and preached his way across the Middle East, is recorded to have preached in India, and later back in Armenia, which is the region between the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea. And I do realize it would be helpful to have a map. Maybe if you think of this later, you'll look at a map and kind of get your feet on the ground. It's very interesting to see where these men went. There in Armenia, he was crucified. Preaching Christ, crucified in Armenia. Thomas, doubting Thomas, I will not believe unless I can see and feel the nail holes in his hands. Thomas, empowered by the grace of God given to him by the risen Lord Jesus Christ, preached his way across the Middle East to India. The church in India to this day looks to Thomas as the one who brought them the glorious good news. Thomas, doubting Thomas. But he was killed by the spear in India. You can read into that, that he was killed by the native people. Remember, India was and is a pagan nation. To preach Christ is to preach religion counter to their own native religions. Automatically, Thomas was their enemy. He was killed by the people he preached to. Matthew, also known to us as Levi the tax collector, there are two different accounts of what happened to Matthew. So we are uncertain. One has him preaching down into Ethiopia, and the other has him preaching into Persia, which is Iran today. Both accounts have him killed by the sword. Both accounts reckon him as martyr. This is an uncertainty, but both accounts tell that he died a martyr's death. Certainly not just laying down and peacefully going to sleep. James, the son of Alphaeus, was stoned to death in the streets of Jerusalem by the Jews. A heretic to their religion, they would not hear him preach Christ. They stoned him to death. Thaddeus preached over into Mesopotamia. That is, again, the area of Iraq and Iran, the area between the Euphrates and Tigris rivers, if that'll help you place it. There, history records that he was beaten to death by pagan priests. He preached Christ. He preached the Word of God. He was an enemy to their religion. They killed him. Simon the Zealot. Saved by Jesus Christ from a life of insurrection. And remember, the Zealots were insurrectionists. They stood for the violent overthrow of the Roman government. Death and dismemberment to all Romans. But Simon was called by Christ, saved by Christ, and became a preacher of a new way, a better way, the way of Jesus Christ. History records that he preached into Egypt. Then he came back through Jerusalem. Then went up into Asia Minor, which is Turkey in that area, and then came back and was hacked to death in the area we now call Syria. Matthias. And you'll remember that Matthias was the apostle chosen by the other apostles after Judas had betrayed Christ, left the body, and had died. Matthias was an apostle nonetheless. Through the process the 11 used to determine the will of God, Matthias was chosen as an apostle to be sent forth. He preached down into Ethiopia, and history records there in Ethiopia, he was killed. Paul. We know Paul. We know well of Paul. The book of Acts records so much of the missionary travels of Paul, but it does not, of course, tell us his death. There we come to church history to find out. We know from the scripture that Paul had preached all over what we call the Middle East and Asia Minor, crossed to Greece, ended up in Rome, and there he was imprisoned. That's where the scripture leaves Paul. From history, we understand that Paul was beheaded during the reign of Nero. The Roman persecution of the church had begun, and Paul, as a leader of the church, had to go. He represented a threat to Rome, so they said. The Apostle Paul was beheaded in Rome. Today, in telling you this, I only touch lightly on the subject. And without an understanding of history through the view of God, through the view of Jesus Christ, through our view as Christians, this would be a very, very morbid subject. But don't let it be morbid. Understand that these men saw the risen Christ. Unlike the author of the book that I've been reading that sparked this discussion, unlike that author, these men knew for a fact, as sure as flesh and blood, that Jesus Christ had resurrected from the dead. And with that, the grace of God gave these men incredible strength to face all things, even death itself, knowing that there was a greater and more glorious truth in Jesus Christ, and that every man, woman, and child on the face of the earth needed to know this information. They needed to hear the gospel. This was truth, and they knew it. And they were strengthened by God with this truth. The author of the book that I've been reading sees the foundation of the church, the lives and deaths of these men as being a mystery. How can he account for it? It doesn't make sense. Nobody in their right mind goes against self-preservation for a fabrication. It doesn't make sense. Apart from the grace of God and a firm conviction by God given to us, there's no explanation for what these men did. There is none. The scripture says that to the natural man, all of this is foolishness. And it is to the natural man. It is absolutely foolishness. The truth is that except through the eyes of faith, you and I have never seen a resurrection. I've never seen one. I don't think any of you have either. I've been to a lot of funerals. I've never seen anybody get up. But the 12, the 13, that we talked about, the apostles, they did see one get up. And it so changed their lives that they went about to change other lives with that message. And indeed, through the process of human history, you and I are changed today because of these men. These men were given grace and extra strength by God through Jesus Christ to preach the gospel, to take the message to the entire world, and they did. In the flesh, they paid dearly for that. But today, we breathe easy and comfortably knowing that we have salvation in Jesus Christ because they preached. They gave their lives. Others preached. Others gave their lives. The deaths of the apostles is a part of the story of the life of the church. Today, even as we're sitting here, in this church, there are people in the world that are suffering martyrdom. That are being abused for their faith, even killed for their faith. Read the news, look in the small articles in the back section of the news, and you'll find stories. Places like Chad, Sudan, Iran, primarily in Islamic countries, may I say. There are those yet today who are giving their lives for the cause of Christ. And just as God so strengthened the apostles, He strengthens His people today. I do pray that none of us will ever experience the persecution and know the threatening of life that the apostles knew. But we each face sometimes very horrible things in our lives. And the same grace that empowered the apostles does empower us as well. And we can stand the test. And there is the hope that we have as we look at the lives of others and we see that God has so strengthened them that He will indeed strengthen us. God loved His people and still loves His people. I asked, in the beginning we read the scripture, and then we departed from it. But in your thinking later today, go back and reread that passage and read what saints of old have suffered for the cause of Christ. And be strengthened and encouraged because God gave them grace that they could stand the test. And indeed, God gave us grace, first, that we may be saved, and secondly, that we may stand the test that we face as well. Be encouraged that God, who has raised Christ from the dead, has also raised us into newness of life and strengthens us to face everything that will come our way.